Well, hello everyone. I am Billy Dees, and I'm coming at you today for HO Press, Shorehouse Books, and Humor Outcast Radio. With us today is Roger Hollis. How are you doing today, Roger?
I am fine, sir. And yourself?
Hey, I am doing great. We're actually out of my studio today, so I'm happy anytime I can get on the road. We're here in Roger's office in good old Ohio. Kind of cold today, but hey, you know what? It's that time of year here in Ohio. What we are going to be talking about today is The Running Log, which is a book, and it is available on Amazon. Roger Hollis is the author. Before we get into that, just real quick here, are you from this area, or where are you from, Roger?
Well, that depends how far back you want to go. I was born in Canada, lived in upstate New York. I've probably lived in at least half a dozen states across the country, visited all but one state across the country, traveled to Europe, Mexico, the Far East, so been around a little bit. So.
Man, I guess. I'm one of those people, I'm going to die within 50 miles of where I was born.
So. Nothing wrong with that. I'm probably the outlier.
Right. Now, when you're not writing, and we're going to get into this book here in a moment because it's a little different. This book is something different, so I'm very excited to talk about this. But anyway, as a profession, would you call yourself a marketing professional? Is that what you do? Or?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. I started in engineering many years ago, moved into operations, and then into sales. So my background is pretty varied. And so I wouldn't basically say that I was focused on marketing. Really, what I really do now from a consulting point of view is really try to help small business with strategic planning and business planning, and that's my major focus for a consulting practice.
Well, that is fantastic, because that kind of fits in with the marketing of your book. You can kind of understand what needs to be done from that aspect. That's cool.
Well, it really depends. I mean, sales and marketing are somewhat joined at the hip, but I'm excited about doing some marketing and some sales for the book, because I think it has something to offer that not only runners, but anybody that exercises would be interested in using, just to keep track of what they do on a daily basis, and gives them a little bit of motivation and a little bit of humor at the same time.
All right. This book, to me anyway, represents an intersection of a couple of things. Just very briefly, it encompasses the sport of running, and you also draw cartoons. And you also author sayings and motivational things and a number of things that go along with that. So first of all, from the aspect of running, how long have you been running? And
well, I you know, here again, how far back do you want to go? I mean, I was raised
a long time. Sounds like you've been running a long time is the answer.
Well, you know, you take a look at kids running outside. I mean, kids run. We're, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, And we kind of lose that over the years as we stick kids inside the classroom. But I ran track in high school. Didn't run in school in college. I was injured.
Oh.
And played a lot of racket sports when I was in the service. Tennis, handball, that sort of a thing. And then when I got out, started working for a company not too far from here, actually, over in Valley City, not too far from Brunswick.
Okay.
And a couple of guys said, let's go out and start running, because we were playing a lot of racquetball. I said, sure, why not? So
yeah.
That was back in the mid-80s, and I've kind of been running regularly now since the mid-80s.
Okay.
So it's been 30-plus years that I've really been dedicated to it.
Well, you seem to be built for running. You're tall, long legs and all that. I mean, that's, I would imagine that gives you a natural good gait, or does it not?
No, it really doesn't. I'm hardly built for running.
Oh, really?
Most people would think the obvious would be the would not be the case, but if you take a look at a real professional runner, they may be tall, but they're going to have a different set of muscles than I have.
Okay.
You know, because I played a lot of racquetball and I played a lot of hockey, I've got something they call fast twitch muscles in my legs
oh.
to rapidly move somebody up and down the ice or around the racquetball court. Most runners that do it as a business or are professional runners, they have something called low twitch muscles.
Okay.
And you take a look sometime, they've got very, very long, thin legs. Now, I got long legs, but they ain't very thin.
All right.
But at the same time, I don't really much concern myself with anything more than going out and enjoying running and getting some exercise.
Right. The other aspect of this is your book, The Running Log, is the illustrations and the cartoons. Now, you seem to have a hand for that. Is that something you developed naturally, something you've been doing since childhood, or how did that?
I guess I just kind of fell into it. I did a lot of doodling, if you will, when I was a kid, but it wasn't until a number of years back that a small local company that I've known pretty well had done a digital magazine. They wanted to put in a cartoon illustration. I said, well, here, let me give you a couple of examples. And they liked it. I did it for 4 years on a monthly basis. And over the years, I guess I've kind of developed a bit of a talent for it, although I wouldn't call myself an artist by any stretch of the imagination.
I understand. Yeah. Well, the other part of this component of this book, and I'm going to get into the last phase of this, is I want to talk about how someone would use the book. But the other component then is the comments and I guess the motivational quotes and things that coincide with that. Are you one of those people that likes those sayings like there's no such thing as mistakes, there's just learning experiences and all that? Are you driven by those kind of comments, or how did you get the idea to what's your inspiration for all these quotes?
Well, I've collected quotes. If you take a look at my office, you'll see a plaque over there with a number of them there. And, for me, they're inspiration and they work for me. So out of that, it kind of evolved into taking that same inspirational idea in terms of very short quotes and apply it to the running venue.
Right. Okay. Now, all these things kind of come together, the aspect of running, the illustrations, and the motivational things in your book. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. It is a marriage of all of those.
Now, as the running log kind of comes into shape, what came about that you decided to put these components together?
Well, I've always kept a running log, and I think most people like myself that are regular runners do keep a log of some sort. And
well, what is that? Just so if someone's listening to this and not, this is like how you ran a particular day, if you were tired, what the weather was like.
Yes. I mean, basically the log has got the date. You can enter the number of miles you ran. You can enter the number of minutes it took you to run the race. You can put in there what course you ran. You can make notes about the weather, how you felt, and just those sorts of things. And it really is a motivational thing that kind of helps you keep track of where you've been and where you want to go.
Okay. So what was your inspiration? When did you get that moment that says, you know what? I'm going to put all this together, and I'm going to make this running log. When did that happen? When did that eureka moment happen?
Well, I think it was probably after we had discontinued doing the digital magazine mm-hmm. that I said, well, I've got a lot of these cartoons that are running related because of what I had done in the digital magazine. So it was probably someday when I was out running, I had a brainstorm. And I said, well, let's put the two together. I've got this and I've got this, and let's put them into one book that maybe we'll add a little bit of humor and some motivation for people that do run.
Okay. So essentially when you use this book, when you go out and run, you can take an illustration, get a little humor out of it, and then you can put in your notes for the day. Is that essentially how the book is?
That's right, because everybody is going to use it in a different way. Myself, every single day I run, you can take a look at sitting right over there, I put in exactly what I've done. So you put down your work for the day, the miles you ran, the miles you walked, whatever. But at the same time, you've got a little cartoon to add a little bit of humor and kind of get you through the day.
Right. Okay. Now, you had mentioned in our pre-production notes here that running is very inclusive. You know, everybody can participate in it. The phrase that you have here is the democracy of the running world.
Correct.
The question that comes to my mind is, what is it about running that's any more inclusive, let's say, than working out in a weight room and doing resistance training or anything like that?
Well, I think the difference is that in a weight room, you're in somewhat of a closed environment. It's a much smaller environment. And I think the people that run, not only because they like to exercise, but they get outside and it's a very social event because you've got so many different people. Whereas if you're in a gym, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's a less inclusive group of people. Mm-hmm. Whereas runners are also people that work out in gyms. They may do three days a week in the gym and do 3 days a week on the roads. So, I mean, they can do both, but I think that running is being outside, perhaps more social than you would be in a gymnasium.
Okay. One of the things that comes up a lot when people talk about running, and we want to be clear here, we're not giving anybody medical advice. We're, you know, obviously consult your doctor before you do anything and make sure you're in good shape. But one of the things that you often hear is, well, I'm never going to be able to run because I'm too heavy. I got bad knees. As a general rule, your experience as an enthusiast, are those typically good excuses or are they just excuses?
They're just excuses because I've heard them all. I don't think there's anyone I haven't heard over the years. I'm too old. My knees are too bad. My back is too bad. I'm overweight. I don't have the time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard them all. And I understand. I had been talking to someone 2 days ago at a meeting. And, you know, he's got a young child. His wife works. And that's hard.
Yeah.
I understand that. The motivation is hard. But if you really want to do it, you can do it.
Right.
You know, and yes, I get the common complaint, well, my knees hurt. I understand. But if you do, in fact, have the right equipment and learn how to run properly, over time, those muscles will improve, strengthen themselves, and you won't have knee problems.
Right.
So there's really no reason you can't run. Anybody can run. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She told me she has started a running program, and over a period of about a year, she's lost 73 pounds.
Wow.
So it can be done. The challenge to everybody is this getting out there and doing it, which is the hard part, I understand.
Yeah, getting started, just like with anything else, is probably 80% of the difficulty. You know, getting that motivation to set time aside, buy shoes, do whatever you have to do.
Correct.
And get that whole and for me anyway, I do pretty good with not eating bad things, but being, I'm active in the sense that I move around in the course of doing work and stuff, you know, but I'm not active in the sense of what you are. And I get spells in the summertime, you know, in the spring and the sunshine. I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. And I do it for a while.
Understand.
And then it starts to fall off, you know, the things start happening, and which kind of brings me to what we can talk about in terms of the joys of running. Now, obviously, there's a fitness aspect to running.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, that goes without saying. Any physical activity is helpful, even if it's just walking, I would think. But beyond that, let's say, for example, if you've had a busy work week, or maybe you've had a fight with your wife or husband or whatever the case may be, and you need to kind of iron things out, is it a good mental process?
Absolutely. Because you'll find once you get out there and get into a running program and you start doing it on a regular basis, it is a great stress reliever. because you're kind of free, you're working up a good sweat, and, you know, some of my best ideas, and I think most runners would tell you this, come when you're running.
Okay.
Because you're kind of free and you really are not stressing about anything. You're just out there maybe enjoying the scenery, maybe enjoying the weather. Yeah, you're working hard, but you know at the end of the run, you're going to feel so much better.
Right.
I mean, there is something called a runner's high. It does exist. You do have to put in the work to get that runner's high, but when you have it, when you feel it, it is very euphoric, and it really is a great way to start the day. It's a good way to end the day. And until you get to the point that you experience that runner's high, then you question, why should I be running? But
yeah,
there is a goal at the end, and one of that is stress relief and just feeling so much better.
Yeah. I've often heard people say, well, you know, I work a lot and, you know, I need time to rest and all that. And obviously, we all need a good night's sleep. But beyond that, I have found that, here again, once you get started, that you actually are less tired throughout the day.
Yes.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just because you're, is it a mental thing, or?
No, I think it is a physical thing. I really do think that once you get the blood flowing, I mean, as a society, we all sit. What do we do all day? We sit in front of a computer.
Yeah.
Or we sit in an office, or we're sitting having a conversation with somebody over lunch. And so we don't get that blood flow.
Yeah.
And it becomes a way of living.
Yeah.
And once you get out and you start the blood flowing, and no, you may feel very, very tired. And quite frankly, some of my best runs have occurred when I've told myself, God, I feel so tired. I don't want to go up for a run. And I get dressed and I hit the road. And when I get done, I said, wow, I am sure glad that I did this.
Right, right.
You know? But, you know, is that a mental block to some extent that you have to overcome? Because you know that at the end, you're going to feel so much better.
Right, right. I was speaking to a friend of mine who did fitness, and we were talking about our grandfathers. And one of the things that she said was, she hears comments so often about that generation, was like, well, I don't understand, my grandfather could, you know, eat whatever he wanted and da da da. But those guys lived active lifestyles.
That's,
I mean,
right.
You know, like my grandfather, for example, worked on the railroad all day. Mm-hmm. Then he came home, mowed the grass, and that's without a gasoline, those old push mowers. Did the hedges with those. You know, I could chop those things for about 5 minutes, and then my arms were going to fall off. Grandpa could do it all day long.
Yep.
And yeah, when you live that kind of a lifestyle, yeah, of course you can eat more. And like you said, today people just, you know, they're at the computer, or they're at the office and pushing papers around, and you really have to make an effort to be active.
Yes.
That's great. The idea that, you know, it gives you new ideas. I think that aspect of it, the outdoors helps. Which kind of leads me into my next question, treadmills. Most of the avid runners that I know say, nah, it's not the same as running. I don't know if the exercise level is any different, you know, if it does you any less good physically, but I would, obviously it's not going to do you as good, you know, emotionally, not to be in the good outdoors. But what's your comments on that?
It's a personal thing. I mean, there are people that will do nothing but use a treadmill.
Right.
And that's fine. And you can, if you've got a good treadmill, you can put in a real hard workout if you're so inclined.
Right.
And there's certainly nothing wrong with doing that. On the other hand, personally, I hate treadmills. I use them only as a last resort.
Right.
Because I like to be outside.
Yeah.
I'm a farm boy, raised on a farm. I prefer being outside. And I don't care what the weather is, as long as it's safe, I'm out there running.
Right.
And somebody said to me the other day, wasn't it too cold to run? I said, well, here in Ohio, that's virtually non-existent. You know, now if it's icy and it's snowy and there's a thunderstorm, yeah, that's not safe.
Right, right.
But other than that, you dress accordingly, and people say, well, it's cold. I said, yeah, for the first 5 or 10 minutes, by then you're all warmed up and you don't even notice it.
Right,
so,
right.
So I prefer being outside. And I think the majority of runners do, but it's all a personal choice.
Yeah.
It really is. So I don't want to say don't use a treadmill. Whatever fits for you is fine.
Yeah.
So I just personally would much rather be outside. And I think there's just much more benefit you know, you get vitamin D and all the rest of the things that you get when you're being outside. But here again, it's a personal choice.
Right. Well, here again, that's when it's easy for me in the spring. Because I have cabin fever anyway, and I like to take my shirt off, get some sunshine, and be running. But then, you know, like I said, once fall rolls around, you know, like we're in this thing now, the cold and the damp, it's depressing to me. I don't know if I have whatever that is about the sun. Maybe I have that. So a treadmill might be a good option for me because, you know, it's right in the home. I don't have to worry about going somewhere and getting back in the house and all that. It's just...
A lot of people that... have treadmills basically have it for just that reason that you know, this time of year, you know, what you're talking about is sad seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, yeah, I have
and,
that.
And, and where, you know, it gets cloudy, the sun doesn't shine, you know, and we live in Northeast Ohio and that's kind of the way it is. From my perspective, on days like that, I can go out for a run and basically, when I'm done, I feel so much better because it kind of negates that feeling that you have.
Right.
Okay. But there are a lot of people that really do use a treadmill from here until the sun shines again in March or April.
Well, you know, Ohioans often complain a lot about the weather and so forth, but it's really not horrible here. I mean, there's January and February that I would say are inconvenient. They're not as bad as other places up north where it's just absolutely below zero.
Yeah,
and all
go live in Minnesota.
So we have a couple of days or maybe a stretch of about a week of that, and typically, and then the last couple of winters have been very mild.
Yes.
So with that being said, if you are to summarize this, your ideal fan of this book, your ideal reader of this book, who would be the ideal person that would want to get this as a gift or buy it on their own?
Well, I would recommend that if you are a runner, it is a nice motivational tool because you're going to use it 365 days of the year. You'll keep track of what you're doing throughout the year. And then next year, you can look back and say, what did I do? And it may allow you to say, well, I want to do a little bit more next year. I want to train more for a run. And it's also something that non-runners can basically use as a nice Christmas gift for runners in the family, friends who are runners, that they're going to use all year long. So it's a very utilitarian gift if you are not a runner or friends and family who are runners.
Okay. Now, to find the book, the best place to buy the book is Amazon, correct?
Correct.
And you are on there as author Roger Hollis. That's H-O-L-L-I-S.
Correct.
And, of course, they can get the book there. If they want to find out more about you, you are on Twitter.
Correct.
And your screen name on Twitter is @Roger_Hollis.
Correct.
All right. And you've also now started writing and doing some things, doing little sample drawings on humoroutcast.com. Is that correct?
I try to do a blog once a week. So if you look, usually there every Friday, although this week it was Wednesday because it was Thanksgiving related.
Right.
You'll find it there.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, we're coming at you today for a division of that, Humor Outcast Radio, HO Press, and Shore House Books. Shore House Books, I believe, also is the publisher listed on your Amazon page. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, very, very good. All right, well, you can find Roger all of those places. You can find his book, Roger Hollis, The Running Log, on Amazon. You can follow him on Twitter. Real easy to find on Twitter, @RogerHollis. Roger, thank you very much for taking your time and talking to me today about this book. It's a very interesting concept. I really hope it works for you. It incorporates a lot of things that people want to do. Obviously, getting in shape for the new year is always a resolution that a lot of people want to do, and this kind of fits right in with that. People love motivation, and you have that aspect rolled into the book. So, and obviously drawings and all that, people find those very entertaining. So you have a lot of components here between the motivation, the entertainment value, the fitness aspect. You got a lot going on with the book.
Thank you, Billy. I think you're absolutely correct, and I would certainly hope that everybody that has a chance to take a look at it would appreciate it. And thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Once again, I am Billy Dees, and I'm coming at you today for HO Press, Shore House Books, and Humor Outcast Radio. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast.